7:28 on a Wednesday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Jeff Patterson's going to join us in a moment here. Before he does, I need to tell you about the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. You can experience the Dilawri difference today. Visit your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. Three of them to serve you better. North Shore Acura, Acura of Langley, and Burrard Acura at 730 Terminal Avenue. We're also brought to you by Able Auctions. If you have business assets to sell, email them at sales@ableauctions.ca. To the phone lines we go. Jeff Patterson joins us now on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. What up, J-Pat?
Morning, boys. Understand there's some technical difficulties. I've got a toolkit. I could swing by the station and take a look at things if you'd like.
Perfect. We need help. The texts are coming in fast and furious. People are confused. And now we're existing in this weird reality that the people who can hear us are listening on traditional radio. So they have no idea that this online universe cannot hear the Halford and Brough Show. And most importantly, can't hear Jeff Patterson. But we're going to plow through.
Jeff, you're going to have to call, after we're done here, you're going to have to like call everyone that wasn't able to hear the hit and do an interview with them. Is that okay?
Yeah, and thank goodness for traditional radio, because somebody told me digital was the way of the future, but
not quite yet.
Jeff, let's talk about this Nate Schmidt situation. I think based on the reports we've heard from Elliot Friedman, Thomas Drantz, and others, there's something going on there. Whether Nate Schmidt ardently wants out of Vancouver or whether he'd more just kind of like, that would be nice if you could do that. How challenging is it going to be for the Canucks? Because I think back a year and getting Nate Schmidt was like the big win of the offseason. Now, only a year later, the guy apparently doesn't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, if you think back to last, and it was Thanksgiving weekend, was the weekend of free agency after the bubble and everything else, and the Canucks obviously had all those players that walked out the door and the fans were frothing at the mouth, and then the Canucks pulled the Nate Schmidt trade off, and that seemed to sort of placate people a little bit, as it gave you this indication that, okay, like it didn't look good for a few days there, but clearly they have this plan in place. And, you know, I think everybody at the time thought, man, getting the top four defenseman for a third round draft pick, like that's a win for the Vancouver Canucks. And it hasn't even been 12 months. It's been one abbreviated season. And now all of a sudden, you've got a top four defenseman who was underwhelming, let's be honest, and wants out apparently, and also has 4 years left at basically $6 million per. So what looked like a bit of a win for the Canucks has turned, and clearly there are other shoes to fall in all of this, and we'll see how it plays out. You know, I think what surprises me in all of this is that, you know, for a guy who talks a ton, in Nate Schmidt, he hasn't had a microphone that he doesn't like. We haven't heard from him. Like, it's been remarkably quiet, and it remains sort of this echo chamber of rumors, and it's hard to know what's fact and what is fiction, but there are enough reports out there that, you know, he wants out, and nobody seems to be denying that. And I guess I'd like to know why. Like, if it's about the direction of the team and the competitive window, I guess I understand that from Schmidt's point of view, but that certainly doesn't reflect well on the Vancouver Canucks. But if it's about opportunity, like this guy was second to Quinn Hughes in power play ice time for the Vancouver Canucks, a distant second, but he was still second on the team among defensemen, at least, in power play ice time, and was third among defensemen in penalty killing ice time. So, you know, he played a lot at evens, and he also saw a fair bit of special team duty. Now, the power play was a disappointment because that second unit didn't account for much offense. In fact, Schmidt was on the ice for a grand total of 2 power play goals for the Vancouver Canucks last season and didn't pick up a power play point. So, you know, he was advertised as a guy that would sort of be a 30 to 40 point defenseman in an 82 game season. His 15 points were underwhelming. I think he'd be the first to tell you that, but I think there's a better player there. I think he's better than he showed in his first season as a Vancouver Canuck. And so I kind of like to know why he wants out, but, you know, I may never get an answer to that question, and all of a sudden, you know, it just adds another significant thing to Jim Benning's already long to-do list here in the month of July, and we've been talking about this for ages, that, you know, the defense is a massive area of concern. Schmidt and Myers were the only two defensemen, two regulars, under contract heading into next season, and now one of those guys wants out and will likely be gone, so you know, it's tough to wrap your head around what the defense is going to look like in a month here where the Canucks have so many things that they have to do, it's going to require complete laser focus. And let's be honest, a little bit of finesse from the front office to reshape this hockey club to make it competitive. And I don't know, based on track record and years gone by, I just don't know how much confidence the fan base is going to have in this front office to be able to execute all the things that it has to do. And now you add an H. Schmidt trade to that lengthy list.
You know, when you go back and you look at what Schmidt said in the immediate aftermath of the trade out of Vegas, and he said it was like emotional and stunning, and he was obviously upset by it. I do wonder if maybe his focus was about what he was leaving behind as opposed to what he was going into, and then he's like, well, I'll just figure it out when I get there. And it could just be very as simple as it's just not a good fit for either party. I understand what you're saying about the, you know, the opportunity for winning and, you know, I mean, but Schmidt's done a lot of winning. I just think that it may be as simple as it's not a great fit for either side. They thought it was going to be, but Schmidt never, I mean, let's get one thing out in the open. Nate Schmidt never wanted to be here. He wanted to be in Vegas. That's why he signed the extension there. That's why he had kind of ingrained himself into the community so much. He was on an episode of Bar Rescue, for crying out loud. I mean, he wanted to be there. And I think sometimes when your life gets shook up like that, it doesn't matter where you land. It's just not really going to work because maybe your heart isn't necessarily into it.
Yeah, and as I recall, and I try to, you know, keep the personal lives of guys out of the picture for the most part. I cover them as hockey players and what they do on the ice. But I seem to recall he got engaged between the time that he was traded and the time that he joined the Canucks for training camp in late December, early January. And, you know, who knows? I mean, we've seen it before. Maybe his fiance didn't enjoy her time here. I don't want to pin it on her. I'm speculating. I get that. But, you know, there are personal issues or personal sides to the story that, you know, we're just not privy to. So who knows? Bottom line is it certainly feels like there's enough noise out there that he wants to be relocated. He'd be on to his fourth organization in a relatively short period of time, but he turns 30 at the end of next week. So, you know, whether this is just some sort of hockey player midlife crisis, whether there were things going on behind the scenes, whether this relates back to all that went down with the COVID situation and the way that was handled behind the scenes, you know, it's unfortunate because, again, I think there's a better hockey player there. I do think that if he came back and things were relatively normal, and you're playing a full 82-game season and he got to see the city and all those types of things, you know, I can see a path forward, but ultimately, if his heart isn't in it, then you want guys that can play. Unfortunately, for the Canucks, again, at that price point, like, that's going to be a difficult trade to pull off. He's got a 10-team no-trade list, which just complicates matters, you know, that much more. And, you know, are the Canucks going to have to take a discount to move a guy? Are they going to have to retain some salary? How creative can they get? Can they package him? You know, all those types of things. And this is where, like, I want the Stanley Cup final to end, and not because I'm bored with hockey or I have it in for the Montreal Canadiens, but we've been talking for a while about how busy this month of July is going to be. Like, we're 10 days away from the roster freeze for Seattle expansion. And for all that talk about, you know, the Canucks and other teams trying to identify teams that are going to be in protection crunches and maybe they can poach players. Like, there's 10 days from right now. The rosters have to be frozen on July 17th. So I wanted to see some trade activity around the National Hockey League. I really do think that that's an opportunity for the Vancouver Canucks to try to find players at a bit of a discount out there on the market. And so I want the Stanley Cup final to end so that we can get on with what we all believe is going to be this incredible month of July with activity around the National Hockey League. And then beyond that, the draft itself and into free agency. Like, it's crazy to think, guys, as we sit here on the morning of the 7th of July, really we're about 3 weeks away from the Canucks, you know, their roster being shaped for next season.
I know.
Like, you can have a late season trade. You could do one of those Thomas Vanek deals ahead of training camp. But really, for the most part, with the draft and the fertile ground that comes along with that for trades and then free agency quickly beyond that, like, we're about 3 weeks out from having a really good idea of what the Vancouver Canucks are going to go to battle with when the regular season starts in October.
One thing I can't stop thinking about, and maybe this isn't why I haven't put a ton of energy into learning all the prospects in this draft, is I keep wondering if the Canucks are going to trade their pick because they don't have anything else to trade. and their general manager has said, we're going to be aggressive this offseason. So unless they trade, I don't know. Like, who else are they going to trade? I can't stop thinking about it. Am I crazy for thinking about this, or are you of the same mind, Jeff?
Well, you're not crazy for thinking it. I mean, we saw the general manager do it two drafts ago. I'm certainly in the camp that thinks that they've got to keep this pick. It's a top 10 pick that, you know, there's this goalie, Jesper Wallstedt, that's a bit of a wild card that a lot of people think, you know, San Jose or Detroit may go for, which will then just give them, you know, more options where they're picking to get, I think, a really good player, whether it's Kent Johnson, the local guy, or Mason McTavish, one of the Swedish players that's available to them. Like, I think there's a player there that the Canucks certainly will have interest in when it's their turn to pick. Now, the draft itself is a crapshoot because of the limited viewings and how little prospects have played here over the last year. You know, so I think there's some real value to be found later in the draft as well. But again, you've got a general manager that has stated for the record that this team has to make the playoffs. He's got 2 years left on his contract. If he doesn't make the playoffs next year, I can't imagine that he's still the general manager at this time next year. So that sort of leads you to, you know, what kind of self-preservation moves might we see? We saw the JT Miller deal that worked out for the Vancouver Canucks in the short term. You know, would Jim Benning try to pull that off again? And the ninth overall pick, like, that's got some currency to it. Like, you could get a good player. There's no question. So I still think they need to keep the pick because like, there just isn't a whole lot in the system and in the pipeline. And if you're moving off your, you know, your first round pick again for the second time in 3 years, you know, that's to me, that's a concern long term for this hockey club. But I think everything's on the table. So no, you're not crazy to think that way. And again, it just, there's a ton to be done here in a relatively short period of time. We've seen that this front office isn't terribly nimble. And so, you know, are they going to get back into a corner? Will there be some sort of desperation move? All of that is why I'm so intrigued to see what happens here over the next 3 weeks. And again, the buyout window opens 24 hours after the Stanley Cup final this year because of the tilted calendar. Normally it's 48 hours after the Stanley Cup final, but if the cup is presented tonight, by really this time on Friday morning, buyout window could open. You know, we'll see what the Canucks would do. I would certainly expect that there's going to be a Jake Virtanen buyout, but Jim Benning he's on the record. He's talked about buyouts plural. So, you know, are they going down that road? Will they execute a second buyout? How much money is that going to free up? And again, that will give us a little bit better look into the window of, you know, how much flexibility they're going to have when free agency begins and maybe how much of an opportunity they're going to have to make some other things happen. So it's kind of the domino effect. It's going to start whenever the Stanley Cup final ends. If it's tonight, then, you know, game on with the offseason. If Montreal is able to back up the other night to win with another, then all of this gets pushed a little further down the road. But regardless, we're 10 days away from expansion protection lists having to be submitted to the National Hockey League. And if I read the calendar right, 2 weeks from today, Seattle's going to start picking a team. And again, we'll have a better sense of, you know, the roster that the Kraken will have to work with and you know, however many moves that they're going to make and the trades that could shake down from all of that. So I do think the fun's about to begin in the National Hockey League offseason, but just one matter of business. We've got to get that Stanley Cup presented and be done with the games on the ice.
Ah, yes, that thing. Jeff, thanks a lot for doing this today, bud. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll do this again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks.